T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We learned that late last night, Bishop Kemmick passed away after a brief illness. And what can you tell us about his tenure as bishop in Buffalo?
He was a kind and decent man. And I, thinking about him this morning, I thought Bishop Kemmick never met a stranger. He had time for everyone. And regardless of what event he was at, it could have been a confirmation, it could have been a mass at the cathedral or a meeting at a Catholic school. He was always the last person to leave. He would talk with everybody. He was interested in everyone. And he was also first and foremost a priest. And I had written a column about Bishop Kemmick for the Western New York Catholic back when he celebrated his 50th year as a priest. And I think the headline said he was a priest's priest. And that really, in a nutshell, describes the type of man he was, the type of priest he was.
Kevin, he came up through New Jersey. I believe he was with Trenton, New Jersey, born in that area and also worked in that area. Do you think that those sort of blue-collar roots really played well in Western New York, because we're both, those cities are both in the Northeast and both have roots in the blue-collar world, if you will?
I think you're exactly right, Brenda. I had the opportunity to go to Trenton and his home parish when he celebrated the funeral mass for his brother. And it was a Polish parish. And if you closed your eyes and they dropped you in there, you would have thought you were in Buffalo's Polonia. So Trenton was very similar to Buffalo. And he was the first Polish bishop in the history of the Diocese of Buffalo. The 12 bishops before him were all of Irish descent. And it was a huge day for the Polish Catholic community in the Diocese of Buffalo when Pope John Paul II named him the Bishop of Buffalo.
Kevin, there must have been a great feeling for him knowing that the Pope was Polish as well. What did he ever tell you about that with Cardinal Wojtyla?
He really loved to tell the story of when he would see the Holy Father, and you know, Bishop Kemmick spoke Polish, and they would converse in Polish, and he used to regale us with the story that Pope John Paul II said, well, Kmetz, and that's how you would pronounce his last name in Polish. He said, Kmetz, that means peasant farmer, and Bishop Kemmick always loved to tell that story.
Also, you know, he was preceded by Bishop Henry Mansell, Kevin, as you well know, and I'm curious, they seem like very different men, very different people. It seemed like Bishop Mansell seemed a little more reserved and had a different background, of course. How would you compare the two? Did you think that that Kemmick was a whole different type of bishop from Henry Mansell?
I mean, I've had the good fortune to serve under a number of bishops, and Bishop Mansell was very formal, and everything was very, very structured. When he was away from the public eye, was much more relaxed, but in public he was very formal. Bishop Kemmick was relaxed in public and in private. He had a very easygoing personality. He loved to talk. One of the things that he did almost every day at the Catholic Center, he came down and had lunch with the employees. He never had lunch in his office. He would come down and it would be a different table every day. And it was just a great opportunity, I think, for the bishop to get to know the people that were working in the Catholic Center, get an idea of what was going on in the diocese, and also just to forge some bonds of friendship. And it was just great fun to have the chance to sit in a very casual atmosphere and talk to the bishop, and he was there a lot and was all around that Catholic center and really enjoyed being with the people.
Kevin, since he stepped down from being the bishop, what was Bishop Kimmick up to in the last 8 years?
He did not have much of a public ministry, and his back issue and his knee issue were well documented. He had surgery while he was the bishop, and so he just was not as mobile as he would have liked. And traditionally, when a bishop retires, he spends a lot of time doing hospital visits, nursing home visits, and also confirmations. Bishop Head did over 50,000 confirmations during his lengthy retirement. Bishop Kimmick just never had that opportunity. He lived at the Cathedral Rectory down on Franklin Street downtown, and he lived with other brother priests. He did have a chapel in his section of the residence, so he celebrated Mass every day in the cathedral, and he had notebook upon notebook upon notebook keeping track of every single Mass that he ever celebrated, from the very first Mass that he celebrated the day after he was ordained to the priesthood.
It's such great insight, Kevin, to know the different characteristics of a person, you know, a small thing like that, or even having lunch with the staff, I think speaks to the type of man he was. But his tenure was not without controversy. I remember he was heavily criticized for downsizing parishes and missions. How did he react to that type of criticism?
I think that he accepted it, and I think that he understood. And you expected criticism when a parish or a school would close. If people were not passionate about those, then you would have to question your ministry. But people in the diocese are very passionate about their parishes. And he often said that you need to read the signs of the times and then act accordingly. And it would have been irresponsible for him not to do anything. And he came up with a phased-in approach. And it was called the Journey in Faith and Grace, and it was a very collaborative process. The parishes were involved. There was a lot of discussion before any decisions were made, and then the decisions were phased in. At the end of the day, over the course of the 5 years that the Journey in Faith and Grace was implemented, it was the single largest reduction in the number of parishes in the history of the Catholic Church in the United States. But he also asked the faithful to not keep their light under a bushel basket. That was the term he used. And when parishes merged, if you looked at the successful mergers, it's where the pastor and the leadership of the parish got the lay faithful to buy into the merger of the parish, and they created wonderful new faith communities. But it was not easy, but he never shied away from it. And Business First had a headline one time during this, and they said, and I think it was reflective of his gentle personality, they said he was wielding a velvet sledgehammer, and made him chuckle. But it was, I think, a really good description of how he handled the Journey in Faith and Grace.
And how about when he had to close 25 elementary schools? That had to be another very difficult decision for him to make.
No, it was equally difficult. And again, you know, we were in a situation where it was a situation that you just couldn't sustain the schools. And he understood that. And it's just those things are not easy. But that's what a bishop is, part of what he is called to do. A bishop is a teacher, but he's also a leader, and a leader of an organization that has schools and has parishes. And you simply, in this day and age, cannot go with the status quo. And I think it takes great courage to make these difficult decisions, but he always involved people in the discussion process. It was not a top-down process. It was a bottom-up process.
Kevin, how would you compare the Buffalo Diocese under the leadership of Bishop Kimmick to how it is now in 2020?
Well, I mean, now we're in very unprecedented times because of the bankruptcy and the number of lawsuits that the diocese is facing. I mean, it's just a very different time. It's a very difficult time. I think Bishop Ed is doing a terrific job in guiding the diocese through some very choppy waters. It's pretty difficult to compare them. It's just different, very different times. A lot of tumult right now, and you know, you bring in the pandemic, and it's just exacerbated things. So it's hard to compare some pretty, what I would say, normal times to these days that we're living in right now.
Kevin, I know Bishop Kimmick retired. There's a mandatory retirement age of 75, and he was succeeded by Bishop Malone. And Bishop Kimmick was then referred to as the Bishop Emeritus of Buffalo. Were you surprised that he was still living in Buffalo, or do you feel like he just felt like he was so much a part of this community that this became home for him?
Well, that tends to happen when a bishop retires, regardless of where he's from. He typically will stay in the diocese where he retires. Bishop Head did that. Archbishop Mansell has retired and from Hartford. He lives in the Archdiocese of Hartford. Bishop Robert Cunningham, who recently retired as the Bishop of Syracuse, lives in Syracuse. So that's pretty much the norm. It's where they, you know, they finish their ministry. They have great love for the diocese, and people know them. I mean, if the bishop had gone back to Paterson, New Jersey, where he came from, he would have led a very different life. And you know, his friends were here, and so it's pretty typical that the bishop does stay in the community where he retires.
Kevin, obviously this is very fresh news, but when you have time to reflect, I'm sure you'll have a bigger answer. In the meantime, what do you think Bishop Kimmick's legacy will be for the Buffalo Diocese?
I think it's a legacy of restructuring the church and making much needed changes, but it's also a legacy of ministry to people, be they migrants in ministry to prisoners, ministry to our parishes throughout the eight counties of Western New York, and also I think it will be looked on as his ministry of presence to people. So he made some very difficult decisions, and obviously most of the attention gets paid to the journey in faith and grace. But at the end of the day, he was a priest, and he was a holy and decent man, and he was always present to his people.
And very lovely sentiments.
Kevin, one last question as we wrap up here. We haven't talked to you in a while. How have you been during this pandemic, during this COVID-19 crisis?
Well, I think like everybody else, just trying to adjust to what's happening, and we work with our clients through Keenan Communications Group, and it's been very busy, and working with some clients as they're reemerged from temporary closure. So it's been busy. It's an adjustment for everybody, and I think that it's you know, we've been up to the challenge, but it's been some pretty unusual times. There's no question about that.
Well, Kevin, thank you so much for joining us, and I'm sure we'll talk again soon.
Brenda, Joe, thanks very much. Appreciate it.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.